Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
This is Point of View. My name is Pimelo Mudina. Thanks, Rufilwe. See you next week on Monday. She'll be back at 6 o'clock on Monday. So we're going to be doing this until 10 today. As you know, as usual, Sheldon will be here. So I have my flat shoes on. I'll be kicking them off. We'll be dancing away. And Leroy is also going to be coming through to tell us exactly what to watch this weekend. I must say, really brilliant, brilliant pick this weekend. I absolutely loved it. I think you'll also love it too. But I'm not traveling solo. And I remember Sheldon last week kind of laughing at me, saying, you don't have a guest today. Oh, hell, I've got a guest today. I do have a guest today. And it is none other than Tumelo Mototwane, who is my co-pilot today. Needs no introduction. She is a broadcaster, a journalist, but really a phenomenal, phenomenal person. Hello and welcome.
Good evening. What an intro.
How long has it been?
Oh, my goodness.
Since you've been behind the mic?
May? Yeah, it's been quite some time. You are literally bringing me back out of the trenches here.
So buckle up.
Okay.
Because you're a co-host now. And as we kick off the story today, we are going to start with a story that I think is quite an interesting story. City Power today going to raid a building in the inner part of Johannesburg. It's called Octavia Hills. They're owing 11 million rand.
Yeah.
And we have on the line with us the City Power's manager, Ngobani Mzizi. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome, Mr. Mzizi.
Good evening, Pimelo, and good evening to Pimelo.
Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about this raid today. I know that you were going in and your intention was to switch off and cut off those non-paying tenants. How much is this particular building owing the City Power?
So the one building that you are referring to, you said 11 million. In fact, the latest balance is 12.3 million rands. Yes, it's a government-owned department from what they told us when we got there. But unfortunately, from our side, they are owing. And it's been for years that they have not been paying. So we just have to do our part. And maybe if I can just expand a little bit. When we got there, we found the chamber sealed in a very unconventional manner, which signifies that they are aware that they are not paying. And when I speak of an unconventional manner, they had welded our chamber. We have never come across something like that in our many drives. And this really showed to us that these are customers, or dare I say consumers, that are delinquent and probably have no intention to pay whatsoever.
Nobody, I wonder, when you see, you know, the debt ranking into its millions, one wonders how City Power found itself with a customer owing that amount. I mean, surely when it gets to the hundreds of thousands, that there should be red flags or at least alarms raised to say, okay, we might have a problematic customer here. How did you find yourself being owed millions?
So, well, it's due to a number of factors. The first one, which we have communicated ad infinitum, is that during the COVID period, we were a bit lax in terms of our collections, right? Because we were keeping with the government's order for government to be lax, not so much around payments, but to understand the plight of South Africans. That's number one. Number two, that establishment is quite massive with over 1,000 people, I'd like to think. Well, it's not necessarily an uprise, building, but it's like how can I put this? Like it's not even a locus, but it's an old establishment, like an old hostel, if I can put it like that. So the one part is the COVID period. That's when such debts exacerbated. But the second part is you find that we do disconnect and some customers go back and reconnect. And so because we go and disconnect many customers, sometimes when we make a turn, it's quite some time later because we say that we couldn't have disconnected you 6 months ago and you have not come back. Why have you not come back, you know? Only to find that, yes, indeed, they have really reconnected themselves. So to your point, Dumelo, it's not that we really have failed or sought, but it's just that we're chasing so many of people who are behaving like this, and that's why we are now reaching out to mediums like yourself to help us spread this message.
I'm curious, if you don't mind me asking, the issue of the ownership of the building. We are told it's owned by Social Development. I don't know if you are able to verify that, but it does strike me that you are able to take Metro Police with you. You are City Power. The building is owned by City Social Development. Weren't you able to pick up that the building is owned by government?
Well, the rightful name of the account, as it's written. Mm-hmm. My Afrikaans. It says plaaslike best behesig werke. So when we got there, they then told us that no, it is a government department. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the reading of it, I would suppose that Social Development, if they are the owners, and I can't verify to answer your question directly, if they are the owners, from the reading of this, clearly they have not updated that. But the name on its own is neither here nor there for us to establish that. If it is theirs, I mean, we do have engagements with the government departments in our various arrangements and discussions with them around the buildings that they own. And obviously, this has never come up.
Mm. So can I just ask, is it one owner owning the entire building, or is it sectional titles? In other words, is each individual tenant responsible for the bill, or are they paying one owner, paying over to you?
Well, there's no payment, so no one is paying us.
Before that.
But there are many people who are living inside there. So, when other media houses engaged them, some were saying that we've been living here for years, we haven't been paying. Some were saying we're paying to other people. So it doesn't look like there's proper of that particular place, you know, and maybe that's where the challenge then comes in. Clearly, in instances like this where there's poor management, if I can put it like that, you then find that one or two people start assuming a responsibility of collecting with the pretense that they will pay, which I cannot say is the case in this instance, but there's nobody who has assumed the responsibility to pay us, hence the ballooning debt.
But let me just help me understand, because surely in your books it should be clear whether you're expecting payment from one individual, or are the units per unit owing you? Have a rate per unit, or do you have just an entire bill for one building?
Yes, we have one point of supply for the entire establishment.
And
one point of supply, yeah.
And when was the last time you got payment from these people? Or from the owner, whoever the owner is?
It's been over 4 years, Timelo. Mm. I mean, from COVID times, you know, so it's COVID.
Yeah. I'm just looking at reports also coming in here, Ngwabani, that you hope to disconnect at least 9 other properties. We're talking here the tune of 43 million rand. It seems this is a problem that you have not only with that specific building, but with many buildings. It seems to almost be consumer behavior or customer behavior when it comes to payment or non-payment in this context with City Power. What's the game plan now moving forward with these remaining properties? Because it sounds like you're trying to send a very strong message here that you will disconnect non-paying customers.
I appreciate your point in terms of identifying that it's a culture of payment or the lack of non-payment, which is exactly what we are trying to arrest over here. In today's operation, we targeted 9 customers with this 43 million rand debt, which we have mentioned, and we were able to successfully terminate them. And as soon as we got back to our offices, some are already following us to come and negotiate payments or even to make payments, just that I left before that was concluded. Mm. And through this, yes, we are really sending a strong message, because the debt book is drastically increasing. Of course, we have been saying it's around 10 million or so. I can confidently say that it's now at around 9.8 million. Mm. So we have just gone down, not million, sorry, billion. So we've gone down the 10 billion mark. So to around 9.8 billion. And in the previous month of August, our collection levels were 101%, which is the first time in a long time that we've exceeded over 100% of collections, which means that the message is getting out there. Customers are beginning to listen and are beginning to pay. But given the magnitude of the amount, I think both of you can agree with me that the problem is quite vast, and the challenge that we are facing is one that is difficult but not insurmountable. And through these interventions, and to answer question what we're going to do differently. We're going to continue doing what we're doing. But not only that, there are also other approaches which in due course we shall communicate.
Right. What about the message, though, Ngobani, under the same breath to the officials? We cannot deny that there are officials, at least some, within city power that are mandated to disconnect, mandated to check on these unpaying customers. But upon arrival, they've been accused of either taking bribes, not disconnecting, and therefore further exacerbating the culture of non-payment and getting away with it with the assistance of some of your officials.
The analogy of one rotten potato can spoil the whole bag of potatoes is apt in this instance, because we try and root out those potatoes. And yes, that's true. I mean, in every legitimate structure, there will always be that outlier. And those who we do catch, of course, we do communicate it. And in that press release that you have, I mean, for example, we do communicate that we caught some yesterday. And 2 weeks ago, we have been catching them. So even they, we are sending a strong message to them, and we are making arrests and successful convictions. So we tell them that if you are, well, we communicate that if you are found, it's a criminal case, and then you will be arrested. But beyond us communicating, we should be seen to be doing it, and through the aid of law enforcement and some customers. There are some good customers, I must say it out there, who do say that after you came to terminate me, somebody came to say, let me pay, I must pay them, pay us, and then we'll then reconnect you. Case in point, on the 15th of August, we're in Randburg, we had a similar case. So it is coming through. So yes, we cannot deny that such happens, but we are not losing touch of that, and we are going to catch those as well.
It's Pamela again. I just want to ask, you know, many of these customers are saying they were promised new meters, prepaid meters. Are you still going to continue with the rollout of prepaid meters?
Well, that is when we got to understand that, Pamela, when we got there, that this is a government department, because, a government building, because they say that government came through and said they want to normalize that and put in prepaid meters. That is what they tell us. It is not city power who went to promise them that, because let's say it was government, they would have come to us, the city power, to say, we want to put up smart meters there, because I would guess that they would want to collect money for this debt. So at this point, it's not really certain whether it was real government officials or it was somebody trying to take a chance, because there are also hijackers strewn throughout the entire city of Joburg who are hijacking buildings, making such promises, taking money from customers, etc. So it is not necessarily city power who said that or did that, but if it is government, they will then come through to us, given that now we have disconnected and they can communicate to us that we were in the process, and we'll ask them, why did you not come to us the entire time? And I guess we can sit around the table and have a discussion.
When will you be able to verify whether this is indeed a government building or not?
I guess after disconnection, the one who gets affected is the one who comes through to us, because what we do after we disconnect, we leave relevant documentation where they should come, and then we'll then have a conversation with them. In most cases, people will make claims that the landlord will come, or the owners will come, or in this instance, government will come, and lo and behold, when we wait for them and they come, you find that it's a group of owners. Residents. They say, no, we are the united owners who want to come make an arrangement. Then we say, but you said this story. But then when we sit around the table, we find something else. So the proof of the pudding is in the eating. In other words, we'll only know when we sit down with them.
Okay. And going forward, all you're doing now is just waiting for someone to show up.
Well, that's what happens. So when we terminate, we leave a disconnection notice, we wait for someone to show up, but we then do our audits after that, you know. So we do a periodic audit on properties that we would have disconnected, maybe 3 days afterwards and 7 days thereafter, to see if they have not illegally reconnected themselves. So we will wait for someone to come, but in the meantime, we'll follow our processes of just going to do site audits or drive-throughs to check if the power is back on. And if it's on, if they have managed, which in this case, I think it will be very difficult given the type of way in which we disconnected. But should they find a way to reconnect, maybe those people who are unscrupulous in our system who do that, then we will then take further steps.
Yeah, but I mean, surely the point is not just to disconnect. The point is also to recover money.
And so it is
within your interest to actually check if this is government that owns this building, so that you can get some money in.
100%. I would not disagree with you, because the objective of these drives is threefold, right? The one intention or pillar is the one that we're achieving now to communicate the message. The second one is successful termination, which we did, and the third one is to get payment. And for us to get the payment is in us leaving the documents that we say, now that you are off, please come through so that we can have a discussion on how you will make the payment. I mean, that is how we normally do, because the affected parties are the one who should come through. Indeed, we have no interest in getting our customers off for a long time. That is just a measure to get them to come through, because when we send letters, when we make phone calls, when we engage with them in a cordial manner, you find that there's no comeback. But when you start becoming a little bit too tight, you know, and squeeze them a little bit more, then they come through. So yes, then it achieves the third objective then of getting the payment.
It's our last question. I'm still stuck on the last point, because there are many, many hijacked buildings. This is maybe one such an example. But there are many, and maybe it's not hijacked, maybe it's not. But there are many hijacked buildings. So yes, you will have customers who are living in the building. Perhaps they are paying somebody and somebody is taking the money. Hence I ask, while you're trying to recoup this money, isn't there some intelligence work behind the scenes? You know, I know that you went with Metro Police, but I'm just trying to ascertain whether behind the scenes there's another operation that tries to get to the bottom of who these owners are, because surely sometimes we've seen it before. They're not even living in the buildings. People are in London, wherever the case may be, and they're not affected. So I'm just curious whether there is a mechanism to actually yourselves trace the owners.
Well, there are recently commenced conversations that are happening at an executive level within the city of Johannesburg now to look at that, because we have seen that the problem is now too wide and vast. And it is through those engagements or those discussions that have now started where we're going to look at this in totality, because it is not only City Power that suffers when there's a hijacked building, but all the other services and at large, I mean, by extension, excuse me, the whole city suffers, because no money comes into the coffers for all its five services. So there are discussions that have started, to share now, as I said, with the other projects, which we're still going to come and share with you, to be premature, but we are going to come through and share that as a city as a whole, and communicate what will be our approach for that.
All right, thanks so much for your time, and you're done, Nedumela. Thank you for your time. A City Power Senior Manager of Revenue Enhancement, Ngubane Mzizi. And when we come back, we are going to be speaking about what's been happening in Eldorado Park. We've spoken about Eldorado Park before, we've spoken about Westbury, but today there's a new operation, and I'm going to be speaking to the MMC of Public Safety, Dr. Mklini Tswaku.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.